This podcast is supported by Oakland, the go-to design studio for growing software companies.
Welcome to FinTech Fun. FinTech Fun is a podcast where Australian fintechs come to share their stories.
Hi, it's Chris Titley here. As part of the FinTech Fun podcast series, I've got Pascal Hellier-Moray, CEO and founder at Super Rewards on the line. Pascal, how did I go with the name pronunciation?
Absolutely perfect. Nailed it, Chris.
Excellent. Very, very good. And Super Rewards, Super Rewards. Let's tell us about Super Rewards, the, going back to your background, I suppose, in the early days and how you came to form Super Rewards.
Sure. So my background is marketing in financial services, and I've worked at a number of blue chips like BT, JP Morgan Asset Management, amongst others. And I left the corporate world to when I had children, as so many women do. And it was in that time that I founded my own startup, so I could run a business from home and also be with the children. That particular role led me onto other startup advisory roles, and one of those other startups is a not-for-profit focused on gender equality, being the Australian Gender Equality Council, or AGEC, as we call it for short. And it was actually, I was involved with bringing AGEC to market and launching it. And so we worked with government and corporates and the everyday consumer. AGEC worked with the University of Queensland when it came to their gender equality research and so on. And so I was fortunate enough to be in the driving seat of and exposed to, you know, a lot of data and information that I guess most people wouldn't be aware of. And so it was really through my experience with the council that I came to realise that, you know, the state of superannuation when it comes to women and as one of the many pillars of gender inequality in Australia, that it was dire. And that, you know, you have and a lot of people won't be aware of this. So, and if you are, you know, accept my apologies, but the fastest growing demographic of homeless people in Australia is actually the older woman. So, you know, we have record numbers of women couch surfing or sleeping rough or what have you. And the reason for this is because when superannuation was constructed as a framework, we're now going back almost 30 years, our social system and our social structures didn't cater and still don't cater largely for how do women contribute if they are not in the paid workforce. So if you think about a mum who has, you know, stepped out of the workforce to raise children, and then maybe she returns to work, but maybe she doesn't. And here's an astounding fact that 40% of women in that accumulation phase of their lives, so the, let's call it 18 to 64 years of age, 40% are not in the workforce. So if with 40% of those women not in the workforce, how exactly do they contribute to their super? So we have this incredible problem where, and it's a wicked problem, where women are not able to contribute to their super. Now, in later life, they've arrived at a place where they, you know, have access to the pension, but the pension is very small. And they're actually not able to sustain themselves. So so now they've arrived at this place in their lives where they have no pool of monies on which to draw to sustain themselves in retirement. And so they end up sleeping rough or sleeping on friends' sofas or with their children or whatever it may be. excuse me, but it was with my role, well, in my role at the council, that I thought, this is absolutely nuts. Like, how is it that we have 51% of the population being women, where the social structures have pretty much failed them when it comes to allowing them to contribute to their super, even though they, you know, while they are primarily responsible for, you know, stepping out of the workforce, looking after children, looking after the elderly, looking after everyone in between, how is the end of a lifetime spent homeless, how is that a dignified and elegant way to reward these people? And moreover, what is government and corporate doing about it? And the answer was largely very little. So I thought, look, there has to be a better way, because things are not going to change anytime soon, right? You know, it's not like we're going to radically eliminate the gender pay gap overnight. We're not radically going to be able to find ways for women to enter the workforce more rapidly after they've had children or after returning from stepping out to look after the elderly. And, you know, we know that there are more women who work part-time than who work full-time. So, and the reason they do work part-time is in order to juggle that, you know, home work balance. And we're not going to see any radical shift there anytime soon. So how, you know, let's assume that all these things remain constant. So how then do we monetize that work, that unpaid work that women and men do, I should add, in order to create an income stream into superannuation, so that while the mother or the father is on parental leave and, you know, still doing the do, right, buying all the things, buying the pet food and buying the kids' sports shoes and buying the new washing machine to accommodate all the dirty nappies and what have you, how then can we ensure that they are still receiving some kind of income into their superannuation, so that they're not losing out on contributing to their super during these key moments? And so really that was the genesis of Super Awards.
Wow. That's the longest story that I've had in terms of where the business has begun, and it's the most comprehensive and most detailed and most passionate. So well done.
Well, there's another version of that, which is I basically became really annoyed.
Well, that's the 30-second one or the 10-second one. So the 7-minute one is worked very, very well. So Super Awards, let's talk about it then, on how you empower this or solve this solution, this problem that's sort of been around and it feels like there's not a huge amount of change that's been rectified.
Yes, well, it's very simple, really. And I think that's one of the things that I like most about it, is that it's a very simple solution and an elegant solution to a very complex problem. And so what it is really is just the concept of affiliate marketing, and I've applied it to superannuation. So affiliate marketing, you know, you see a lot of it in, you know, everyday kind of digital marketing and e-commerce websites. So essentially someone, a blogger or an influencer, points you to a particular product, and then if the user buys that product, then the influencer gets a clip, right? So they're paid for directing the sale. And so because of my e-commerce background and my previous startup experience, I knew of affiliate marketing, and I thought, well, actually this is a really neat way to create a cashback into superannuation. So Super Awards is effectively a platform. We like to say it's where you grow your super with your everyday spend. So no matter if you're buying the pet food or booking the holidays or buying that new dishwasher or purchasing or switching energy provider, whatever it may be, because we Super Awards are directing you, the user, to use that particular retailer, the retailer pays us a cashback or a commission, which we then share with you. So over the course of, obviously I'm one of the heavier users of the platform, but and Chris, I know I've showed you my private,
yep.
my account privately, and I've earned close to $1,300 in cash back through Super Awards just by virtue of being me. So
no change in behavior, no deviation off the
curve. No change in behavior. I was always going to book those flights. Yep. I was always going to buy those school shoes. I was always going to buy those Christmas presents. But now, simply because I channel my purchasing through Super Rewards retailers, they pay cash back into my Super Rewards account, which is then paid on a monthly basis into my super fund. So the $1,300 that I've earned, which is present day value of money, that actually translates to something like over a $12,000 difference that I have made to my personal superannuation balance. So just through, you know, no change in behavior, as you say, and yeah, I can still buy things on sale. I can still earn, you know, Witchery rewards as well when I purchase with Witchery. I've made a substantial and material difference to my superannuation. And the thing that I really like about it the most, actually, is that it's a form of forced saving.
Yep.
Now, I think you and I spoke about this as well. If I find a spare $50 in my wallet, I can tell you five different ways to spend it. You know, do I go to lunch with my girlfriend? Do I buy a new T-shirt? Do I buy something for the kids? You know, the choice is endless. But with Super Rewards, all that decision making and that choice is taken away from me. And that's a good thing, because it's not only, you know, removing all the, you know, the space in my brain, but it's, I just don't have any choice. It's just going to my super, and it, from where it will, you know, earn compound interest.
So combination of superannuation, which is sort of, you know, financial product, a combination of retail, combination of loyalty and rewards. Yes. Allows you to contribute and add, or yeah, another one I probably missed, e-com maybe.
Yes.
And allows you to contribute to your super fund, which is a very long-term asset per se, which, you know, over time hopefully goes up with the markets and things and whatever the super fund's invested in. Are you, you know, like everyone in Australia would have that has access to superannuation has a different fund, or they're self-managed or whatever it might be. The complexities around that in my head, I feel like, wow, how can you do that with so many different variables in regards to my SMSF versus Aussie Super versus an industry super fund? How do you kind of tie it all together?
So this is a great question. We discovered when we launched Super Rewards that there was no centralized way to pay into any super account in the country.
That was my question, really. So, if you wanted to nut it down to 20 seconds instead of 2 minutes, yeah.
Well, so and just for the listener, just to be clear, so you know, a user sets up their Super Awards account and then they link to their super fund or SMSF. And so Super Awards is compatible with any super fund and any SMSF. So it's, you know, it's available to everyone. So think of Super Awards like a power charger, right, for your super. Now, so jumping back to the question of the payments. So we found that there was no clearinghouse equivalent, right, for voluntary contributions, which is what these are. Because, drum roll please, who makes voluntary contributions? Well,
unfortunately, I don't have a drum roll feature on my podcast. Sweet. It'd be pretty cool if I did, though, but we can do the yeah.
Hopefully, I've just inspired you to get one. But so what we realized was that there was no – so if you think about the workforce, right, you know, there's, let's say a company ABC has 100 different employees. Between them, they might be with 60 different funds. They each give their super fund details to HR, who then employs a clearinghouse like a ClickSuper or SuperStream to make the payments with those work payments.
Yep.
But there wasn't the equivalent of that for voluntary contributions. And we got to the stage pretty quickly where we were spending 50 hours every month just making the payments in a manual fashion. And so we said, well, we've got to change this. So in order to be able to scale. So what we built was, you know, an Australian first, the equivalent of an automated scalable payment system which pays into any super account or any SMSF in the country. Wow. And so to be clear with that, we're not throwing $10,000 across the fence to Aussie Super and saying, hey, Aussie, you know, here are the 100 members it belongs to. No, no, we're paying directly into Chris's Aussie Super account and into Joe's Rest account and into Jane's Hester account. So we are making those payments directly into each and every person's super account.
Wow. Okay. That's logistically sounds like a whole lot easier, but a whole lot harder to obviously process that at the start. But now it's simple and sounds reasonably straightforward. I'm interested to know, before we get on to the quote-unquote fun part of the podcast, know about the progress and the acceptance, I suppose, from the retailers and partners that are looking to be a part of this, you know, super rewards platform?
Yes. So that's a great question. So in affiliate world, we are known as what is what's called a publisher, right? So when we launched, we had 100 brands. We launched the online program, our Aspect First. And we had 100 brands, and we thought, which A is a bit of a record for a brand new to market publisher, but we also had some amazing brands like Luxury Escapes and Apple and eBay and, you know, like the brands that you want, right? So since then, we've grown to over, I think we're coming up to 550 online retailers now. But more importantly in my book, we have just launched our in-store program. Now, the growth from 100 to 550 for the online retailers, we put down to, I think, product market fit, right? So the retailers know or understand that it's, household purchasing decisions. 80% of them are made by women. And they said, so they looked at us and they said, huh, okay, designed for women, open to any gender. There's a really nice ESG aspect to this program. We like it, we're in. And so that's how we attribute the growth of our online retailers. The in-store piece is very, it's been a really tough nut to crack. But I'm so pleased that we have cracked it, because I'm going to hit you with a few facts now, which are quite extraordinary. But if you think about COVID, right, COVID forced everyone online, right, in theory. But nonetheless, even at peak COVID, only 15% of all retail sales in Australia were made online. Even at peak COVID, it was just 15%. So the in-store mechanism has been, it's been very complex to try and work out the right way to do it. And part of the reason when I talk about the right way of doing it, with our in-store program, we just needed, we needed it to be just frictionless. Right, I was quite ruthless. So I said, right, no fobs, no receipts, no QR codes, what have you. It just needs to be all effortless. You don't need to think twice. So the way that our in-store program works is you come along to Super Rewards, you link your existing debit or credit cards, and you can link up to 5 on our platform. Then when you're in a Super Rewards store, all you do is you pay as you would normally. with your linked card.
That's amazing in terms of the total addressable market that you've opened yourselves up to, as well as the ability to for people to contribute to the super, which is the whole point of the exercise. So congratulations on
that's
that.
Right. Yeah.
And
Thank you.
I really look forward to seeing the fruits of the rewards in terms of people, excuse the pun, by the way, are the rewards of the rewards for what you've built in regards to that in-store offering. Pascal, let's talk a little bit about yourself when you're not talking about super retail, e-com, loyalty, rewards programs, et cetera. What do you do to try and switch off or at least kind of get yourself away from the business? A nice book or some music or a travel destination?
Well, COVID has meant there hasn't been a lot of travel, but I can tell you that a couple of weeks ago I was in Uluru, which was just phenomenal, just humbling in a way that I hadn't anticipated actually, and I was just swept away by the colours and the space and the sky and so on. So travel definitely is something that I like to do to unwind. The three children keep me pretty busy and sitting on my toes. And I'm a sucker for a good streaming service.
Yes. Okay. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Which one ones are you watching, and or which streaming service on? We could tag them in the post.
Yeah, I have just finished watching, I seem to have been a bit behind the rest of all on this one, Stranger Things. I've just finished season 4 and I've been watching it with my older children with hands over our eyes. But that's been really fun, really, really fun.
I got through the first episode and I'm like, no, I just can't do this. I'm just sort of like, no, well, this is what too out there. But, maybe I should revisit it. I've got young kids, so I'm like, whoa.
Oh, well, do you know what? Yes, maybe not with them, but mine are 12. So we have little post watching itty boops. What did that mean? Which dimension were they in when this happened? So that's been really fun to have as a topic of conversation or debate or whatever it might be with them. And then I have just started, so that's on Netflix, and then I have just started to watch The Staircase.
Which one? The original one or the Colin Firth one?
Colin Firth. Right. Colin Firth and Toni Collette. Okay. So I've only watched one episode, but already I'm intrigued.
Yeah, I haven't watched the Colin Firth one, but I did watch the original documentary, which was done many years ago beforehand, and that was the one that was based on it with the actual people involved. And I found it gripping, and I'm not going to reveal any answers or spoilers for you, but
no, please don't.
Certainly certainly engaging television in terms of basically I want to watch the next episode as soon as it finishes, and potentially the cause of some late nights and tiredness the next day. So Pascal, thank you so much for giving the super rewards story, a fascinating story and very very much told with purpose and vision and enthusiasm and energy about solving a real problem. So congratulations on that. Well done on the in-store as well as the ability to link all those different payments, which sounds enormously challenging, but now hopefully reap the benefits of that and really look forward to catching up and following the progress.
Thanks so much for having me, Greg.
And thank you to our friends at Oakland who have supported this podcast.
For more information on Sub11, jump onto our LinkedIn or email me, chris@sub11.com.au. Thanks for listening.